Tree very much tonight, and I appreciate your help in jumping up and helping us shout the name of Jesus. Thank God for it. And then, precious young ladies and young men, God bless y'all, and just stirring my heart, and the Coopers. What about that? And I'm sitting there on the front row. Lord had me up in the night studying. God said, I want you to preach what they're singing right now. Lord, I don't have any notes about that. Lord, and God said, just as much as you stood up and said, Jesus, and they weren't prepared to do it, I want you to stand up right now, and I want you to preach Jesus right now. And I begin to think about Matthew chapter 18. And I want to turn there. Just going to mind God just for a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 18. Would you stand with me when we look at verse number 11? I'm sure this will probably be quick. Matthew 18, verse 11. I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you tonight that Jesus still cares. Jesus is the great physician at Mercy Hospital and He still cares. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest and He still cares. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He cares about your family. He cares about your soul. He cares about your burden. He cares about what's going on in this meeting this week at Fletcher. I'm telling you, because He cares, we should care. I want to tell you, I care. I'm burdened about it tonight. Father, would you help us to preach what thus saith the Lord? God, I do not know what should be accomplished, but Lord, I want your will to be done. So Father, I stand to say, and not my will, but thy will be done. Use us tonight, God, I pray. Help us, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in leaving the throne of glory to come to this sin-cursed earth was to give His life upon Calvary's cross, that we might be saved, that every single person that would look to Him would be saved. And it's not His will that any one person should ever perish. Began to listen to that song as they were singing it, and I thought about how that there might be a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And one of those sheep, he was scattered abroad. He went astray. He went off by himself. Now the Bible tells us what that shepherd would do. He leaves the 99 in the fold. He goes out across the valley, across the mountaintops, the hilltops. And whatever he has to face, adversity, storms, enemies, he goes in search of that sheep. Maybe he's encountering a wolf and he defeats the wolf there and he goes on after that sheep. Can you just imagine that shepherd before he set out maybe? There came a knock to his door and the accountant of the shepherd said, how's things going? How's the sheep herding business? And he says, well, things are not too good. Well, what's your burden, sir? What's your worry? What are you struggling with? He says, one of my sheep's gone astray and I'm going to have to encounter adversity and going to have to encounter maybe enemies to go find that sheep. I'm worried about that sheep. I don't have time to talk to you, Mr. Accountant, because I've got to go and find my sheep. And the accountant says, whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. What's your hurry, man? I mean, you still have 99. Listen to them bleating. Listen to them there in the fold. 99 out of 100 is really good. That should not be a worry to you at all. But you see, here's the problem. To the accountant, a sheep is just a number in a ledger. It's just a mark on a page. But to the shepherd, that sheep is his heart. That sheep is his burden. That sheep is his everything. And he says, Mr. Accountant, I don't have time for your tomfoolery. I've got to get busy and get after that which was lost. And he goes and faces the enemy and defeats him. And he goes and faces adversity. And he gets that sheep and he brings that sheep back. Maybe as he walks back into the fold, the other sheep say, bad, bad boy, he's got bite marks on him. He's got blood on him. Look, I want you to see he's dirty. He's got often sin. And can you see the shepherd as he comes back carrying the sheep upon his shoulders? And that they're all pointing out the faults and the failures of that sheep who had gone astray. And Jesus, the great shepherd, he looks around and he doesn't see anything because that sin is behind his back. Thank God tonight, my sin, my going astray, my issues, my faults, my failures are behind the back of my Savior. And while you may see, and the devil may remember, Jesus says, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Amen. Well, I'm thinking about the book of Luke, chapter 15. In this great chapter, you see the Pharisees, they're murmuring about Jesus because this man, verse 2 says, receiveth sinners and he eateth with them. And he put out that parable of that shepherd who had left the 99 to find that which was lost. And then he gives us another parable. It's about a woman, the Bible says in verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Can you see that woman? That piece of silver that's lost was probably part of her wedding garment. Probably part of a 10 piece of silver wedding garment. And one of them has fallen out. One of them is missing. And that woman is burdened. About that time, a knock comes to the door. It's the accountant. He says, ma'am, I've come to check on you. How's everything going? She says, I'm burdened to pieces. I don't know what on earth I'm going to do. He says, oh, heaven help. What is it? Maybe I can help you right now. She says, I've lost one of my pieces of silver. I was prepared for the wedding, but now I'm unprepared. I'm unkempt. I'm filthy. I'm dirty. I've lost that which was the most important thing in my life. And the accountant says, well, do tell. Do you still have, did you have 10 pieces? She said, yeah, but I lost one. But you still have 9. Yes, I do. Well, ma'am, that's pretty good. I've just visited a shepherd down the road down here who had 99 out of 100 sheep, and he went plumb crazy over one that was missing. And I hear high tell that he's brought that one back and said, rejoice with me, for I found that one which was missing. I just don't understand. She says, sir, you don't understand this either. I may have 9 pieces of silver. That's 90% and I'm doing pretty good. She said, but you see, I'm incomplete. That one thing I don't have is the one thing I need. I gotta be ready because my bridegroom cometh. I've gotta be ready because he's coming to meet me when I'm not expecting it. So she begins to look all over the house. The Bible says she lit a candle. Jesus is a light. The Bible says she began to sweep diligently. That's the Holy Ghost conviction. She begins to search for it. That's God looking for that which is lost. The accountant stands there and says, I don't understand these crazy people. I mean, why would anybody freak out over just one sheep when you've got 99? Why would one woman freak out over one piece of missing silver when you still have 9? Well, I still see there's a lot of treasure there. There's a lot of value. She grabs a broom. She's sweeping in the corner and she stops and says, here's the problem, Mr. Accountant.
To you, it's just a mark in a book. To you, it's just a note on a ledger. But to me, it's everything. I've got to be ready. I've got to be prepared. And I'm incomplete. And man, she looked in the corner. Something about a broom. You get a new broom. Think about how those brooms are made. You take that plant. You cut it off there. Then what you do is you flip it upside down. Let me tell you something. He's willing to flip it upside down to go look for that which is lost. Something about a broom. You take a broom and you sweep and you sweep. And the more you use it, the more it breaks off and the smaller it gets. Something about that broom. That new broom won't dig in the corner the way an old broom will. And she gets out the old broom, amen. She sweeps in every corner of the house. In every dark place she lit the candle. She's looking, desperate. And finally, alas, she's found that one piece of silver that was missing. And she says, rejoice with me, for I found that which was lost. The Bible says in verse 9, when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, Jesus says unto us, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Honey, I'm just here to tell you that He'll turn the world upside down and search for that lost silver. He'll go as far as it takes to find that lost sheep. Amen. I want to just take time out to say, if you just travel behind that shepherd and you see that dusty trail he went up, maybe you'll see a bloody place and you'll stop there to say, my goodness, what must have happened here to the sheep? He must have been attacked by the wolf. But if you'll stop there long enough, you'll realize it wasn't the sheep's blood that was there. It was the shepherd's blood. He shed his last blood that the sheep might be forgiven, that the sheep might be saved. He shed his last blood that the treasure might be laid full. You read further in this chapter, and we read a farmer, a wealthy man. He's got two boys, got a precious farm. And one of the boys, the least one, came and said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. The Bible said the Father divided unto them, not unto him, unto them his living. And not many days hence, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. The Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living and he spent all. And after he did, a famine came. And the boy began to be in want. Can you see that boy as he's left the friendly confines of home? I'm thinking a lot about some mother. I'm thinking a lot about some daddy. You've got a youngin that's gone AWOL. You're burdened about your young child. Maybe they're still in the home, but they're not walking with God the way they need to be. I'm telling you tonight, you've come in with a tremendous burden for your family. Honey, I'm here to tell you, Jesus cares what's going on in your life. There that man is burdened to death. He's got one boy at home, but one boy's missing. A knock comes to the door. It's the accountant. He comes and says, sir, I just come to check on you. How's business? How are things going at the old farm? He says, I'm telling you, Mr. Accountant, things are not going real well right now. I'm worried to death. I'm at my wit's end. He's pacing back and forth, constantly looking out the window, constantly opening the door to check. The accountant sits there calmly and says, man, what in the world's got you in such a tizzy here? What's going on? Can I ask? He says, I'll tell you what it is. One of my boys has left home, and it's just to me as if he's gone forever. And I'm so burdened that my boy would come home. I want him to come home on his own will. I want to come on his own accord. I want to make his own choice. I want to make his own decision. But oh, how my heart yearns for my boy. The captain says, well, I don't get it. I mean, just up the road here, we've got a shepherd with 99 sheep. And he's all to pieces, about one missing. 99%. Well, I'd have took that algebra class all day long. I'd have been thrilled with the 99. And then I went to see this woman. She had 9 pieces of silver and lost one. That's 90%. Well, I'd been thrilled in chemistry. If I'd have got a 90, thank God, my daddy would have shouted all over the place if I'd have come home with a 90. But here this man has lost one of his children, 50%. And he says, but here's the thing, Mr. Farmer. It's one child. It's one child you're missing. One child that's gone away from home. But it doesn't affect the work at the farm. I mean, you still have your elder son. He's still a good worker. He stayed at home. You've got other servants around. I could tell. I see cattle off in the distance. They look pretty fat to me. I see all this jewelry laying around over here. You've got a fine shoe collection. It looks like you've got all kinds of garments, maybe robes, hanging there in your wardrobe, in your closet. Things are looking pretty good. Business can still go on without one of your boys. And the farmer says, Mr. Accountant, that's where you're wrong. You just don't get it. You just don't get it, do you? You see, to you, my boy is just a populace. He's just a census. He's just a mark on a ledger. He's just a name in a book. He's just another tick mark to an accountant. But to me, he's my everything. I know I got one boy and I love him, but I got one I'm missing right now so bad I can hardly breathe. Honey, God knows where you are tonight. And God just begins to orchestrate it that in that young boy's life who left home, God had him waste and spend everything. And when everything was gone, his pockets are empty, a famine came. Nobody gave to him. All his friends ran out on him. He's completely in want. Empty pockets. He goes down and gets a job at the pig lot. Feeding the hogs. And man, as he took that old pig, I've carried pig slop for my grandparents up to the pig lot and thrown that out across the trough so many times. I begin to think about that nasty stuff. That boy got so hungry that his stomach began to growl for the nasty, filthy stuff. He would even eat the husk if he needed to. And he sat down, he began to think, man, what have I done? I was at home, I had it made, I was treated so good by my daddy, and I had to go off and go out on my own. I've sinned against my daddy, I've sinned against my family, I've sinned against the God of heaven, and God, if you'd just let me, God, go back home. Lord, I'll confess it all. And if daddy would just take me back. Oh, he's rehearsing his speech. If daddy would just take me back. Oh, I'd become one of the hired servants. It would be great. And so daddy, here I come. And he gets up. And he starts making his journey home. And his daddy's been looking out the window. And maybe the accountant's still there at his house. And he opens the front door to look one more time. And he sees dust blowing up on the path. And he sees a figure like a shadow coming up. And he recognizes the way he walks. He recognizes the frame of his body. He says, buddy, I gotta go. That's my boy coming home. And he ran out. The Bible says, he ran to meet him, thank God. And when he got there, I believe he put his coat up around him, amen. The Bible said he began to kiss him. He kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him again. He's continually kissing him. It's not your youngin'. Listen to you. That boy's just a census. That boy's just a mark on a ledger. That boy's just a name on the roll. But to the father, that boy was everything. And he loved him. And he brings him back home. And he says, kill the fatted calf. I want you to take a ring and put on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Put a robe on his back. Rejoice with me, for this my son, which was dead, he's alive, amen, and he's home. I say hallelujah. The accountant don't understand it. The world don't understand it. But Jesus says, honey, I'm not willing that one would be left out. I'm not willing that one would perish. I'm telling you, youngest, he cares about your family. He cares about your daddy. He cares about your mama. He cares about your boy. He cares about your girl. He cares about your husband. He cares about your wife. He cares about your grand youngest. Honey, he wants to save them tonight. Dr. R.G. Lee said to his mother, he said, Mama, what was the most happy day of your entire life. He thought she would say something grand, something comical. And she said, well, I can remember when I was a little girl that my daddy had gone off to the Civil War, and word came back that my daddy had been killed. And it broke my mama's heart. She sat and wept for days. We did everything we could do to get her mind off of it. There wasn't Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook. There wasn't all this internet stuff. I mean, there wasn't all these modern day conveniences. And man, she's just worried and studying and burdened and broken. And she said one day, we decided we'd get mama. We went out and picked a mess of beans. And we thought we'd get on the front porch back when people used to sit on the front porch and string and break beans. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And we thought it was hard work, but we sure did enjoy the good company. Amen. And how we missed those days. Said we was just sitting there and mama, she had an old newspaper in her lap full of the strings. And she threw a handful of good beans down the pot, got her a fresh mess, began to break them. She said, Elizabeth, there's a man walking on that road down there. She said, I do declare that looks like your daddy. She said, mama, get your mind off of it. Every figure, every shadow you see looks like daddy. She said, Elizabeth, I'm telling you, that man walks like your daddy. He's got a body shaped like your daddy. And look, Elizabeth, he's cutting right across the corner of the field just like your daddy used to do. Elizabeth, I do declare, she threw the beans up and the strings went everywhere. She said, Elizabeth, I do declare, girl, that is your daddy. And she took off running and wrapped her arms around him and said, we thought you was dead. They told us you was dead. He said, they misidentified me. I was alive and well the whole time, honey, and I'm glad to be back home. She said, the happiest day of my life was when I found out somebody that I thought was dead was really alive. Honey, what's heaven going to be like when we're reunited with our loved ones that we miss here so bad? What's heaven going to be like while we carry such a burden for our loved ones here that God's going to save them? Honey, we ought to get burdened like Jesus is burdened. We need to see as Jesus sees. We need to feel as Jesus feels. Honey, Jesus is interested in saving your family. You stand to your feet. This is what's on my heart tonight. Let's try to mind God. Maybe there's somebody here. Somebody come play on the piano. Maybe there's somebody here. You'd come and say, Lord, I've got a burden for my family. And Lord, you've told me three times this week already how you care and Lord, how you long for them and how you are wooing them and inviting them and drawing them. Even now, there's conviction working in their life. Maybe you've got a Jonah in your life. He's gone wayward. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, like whale fins, is tracking him down. I'm telling you, the Lord can get a hold of that boy. Won't you come give him to God? You may say, preacher, I've already given him to God. Honey, turn it over to him one more time. Watch what my God can do. Who can tell what the Lord's able to do tonight? Would you come? Do you have a need to bow? Is there somebody you're burdened about? Listen, if it don't happen for you, if it don't happen for you, is it going to be because you wouldn't bow? Because you wouldn't believe? I've read in the Bible about how cities, the Lord pronounced judgment on them because of their unbelief. And I'm telling you, in our nation and many of our churches, we've lost our faith and we're losing our way. Honey, Jesus is Lord. Bow before His Lordship. Ask Him to work in your family tonight. Ask Him to work in this meeting. Oh God. We bow tonight in your sovereign presence. And Lord, tonight, help us, God, as a preacher of the gospel, not to look at these people tonight, God, as a number on a book or as a mark in the ledger. Lord, I pray they're not just a tick mark in our lives, not just a census number, but God, help us to realize the value of a soul, the value of our loved ones. Oh, God, I'm begging you tonight, Lord, there's a mother's heart tonight that is broken. Oh, God, hear their cry. Lord, there's a dad tonight, Lord, that's missing that boy so bad. Oh, God, in your sovereign way, Lord, would you be pleased to speak peace to that heart and to render help tonight, God? I pray, oh Lord, you'd be pleased to move. Help us, God, to look and say, rejoice with me, for he's found that one which was lost. God, I pray you'd bring them back into the fold. God, I pray you'd work in their lives. God, I don't know why you switched us the way you did tonight, God, over to this message, over to this thought. But God, we just want to trust you. God, have your way. Work in lives of people. Let them know you still care. Squeeze them, Lord, I pray. Tell them how much you love them, Lord. And help us, God, to be faithful. Help us, God, to be true. Help us, God, to love what you love. Help us, God, to look to where you look and feel what you feel. Lord, I ask your help, your divine assistance, God. Would you help us tonight, God? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was preaching in Burnsville, North Carolina area, one of the local churches. We had had a number of souls saved. We were down on our face praying, just wanted to get saved, and then somebody'd sing. And enough, y'all been there, y'all subject to it too. Man, what a service. Long about 10 o'clock. One of them is trying to dismiss for like the 8th or 9th time in the service. And a man came up and said, preacher, won't you pray for me and my family? I've got a boy that's wayward. I've got a grandchild they tell me that I've never met. I've not seen my son in years. I mean, many years. And he was so burdened and so broken. I got the pastor and other men in the church, and we bowed down together and begged God to allow this man to be reacquainted with his son and to meet his grandson. Was an honorable thing to do. I got in the car and drove home and got to the house about 11 o'clock. I went to bed. I was exhausted. Took a shower. Went to bed. I was exhausted. Got up the next morning, began to study, prepare for the next night. I came to the service and there was a buzz. There was excitement. They grabbed me and whisked me to the back of the church back there where they had the prayer altar. And that brother was standing there weeping his eyes out. I said, tell him. I said, tell him what? He said, well, you know what we prayed? Yeah, for your boy and your grandson that you've not seen in 15 years or never met your grandson. He said, when I got home last night, he was sitting in my driveway. I said, he was what? He said, he was sitting in my driveway when I got home. I said, well, I must have prayed a prayer of faith, because I don't even believe it now. He was sitting in your driveway. He said, can you believe? He was sitting in my driveway. I didn't recognize the car. I thought, who's this stranger? And out of the driver's seat was my boy. We embraced. He said, Daddy, forgive me. He introduced me to my grandson. The whole time we was praying, he was already headed home. I didn't pray a prayer. I prayed, but I didn't have much faith. I thought, out yonder somewhere God will do it, but I didn't think he's doing it right then. And he said, preacher, he's in the church tonight with my grandson. I can't wait to introduce you to him. Let me tell you what happened. We got in the service and the Holy Ghost introduced me to him. Because his boy got saved and his grandchildren got saved that very night. Don't tell me that God doesn't know where your family is and where their standing is. Honey, he may be sending them home right now, tonight. Some of y'all thought, that ain't never going to happen for me. God's good, but he's not going to do stuff like that for me. Honey, if we had prayed and believed God, there is nothing, I need an amen right there, there is nothing my God cannot do. Pastor, you come. I'm just trying to mind God tonight. Pastor, you come.
God answers prayers. Just stop and think how many prayers He's already answered for us. And if you start meditating on that, what God's already done.